The message that God's placed on my heart tonight, if you have a Bible with you, is going to be in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. It's been an eventful day. It's been a lot of different things going on. A lot of good things. But then there's been battles that's been taking place around today. And I know why. Because I feel in my heart, when God began to deal with me about this message, that there would be a battle. And I put it on our call them all, our prayer call on our church, that folks would be praying that God's word would accomplish what it set out to accomplish tonight, and that there would be no hindrances, no battles that would keep this service from happening. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 10 and read down some verses, and I pray this will be a help for all those that are listening. Verse number 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Before I pray, I want to give you the title of the message that God has dealt with my heart so strongly about today. The title is Conflict, a conflict that's bigger than COVID-19. A conflict that is bigger than COVID-19. Join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for the Word of God and the power that's in it. And I pray, Lord, tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you would do a work in our hearts. Lord, that you would bind the powers of Satan. Lord, that there would be no distractions in this place or in people's homes. That, God, your word would accomplish what it is set out to accomplish in the hearts and lives of people. I pray not only for all of those that are listening tonight, but Lord, I want to pray for those that will hear this message in the future. God, would you speak to us? Would you change us? And would you open our eyes from sleep and let us see and hear what we need to tonight? Fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. As I'm studying the book of Ephesians, there's several things that I want to share, and then we'll get into the text. We see that the Apostle Paul is writing to the saints which are at Ephesus. We find in this book 6 chapters and 155 verses. I find that Paul begins to deal with several different subjects in this book. He deals with salvation, he deals with sanctification, and he deals with service. When I begin to study this book, I find one of the first recordings that took place in Ephesus is in the book of Acts, chapter number 18. As I begin to study, I'm finding that Paul wrote several things in this book, not only salvation, sanctification, and service, but Paul gives an amazing outline on prayer. He speaks of the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. In this book, Paul writes on the instructions for a family. We can find so many things in these six chapters and 155 verses. But I found it interesting when I was reading in the book of Ephesians, when I got to verse number 10, when it said the word finally. Finally. When I read that word, it was like the Lord stopped me there and said, think about this before you continue to read. The word finally. I studied that word finally, and it means this. It means something remaining. Yes, this book is an amazing book of salvation, sanctification, service, prayer, filled with the Spirit, instructions for the family. But finally, there is yet more to be told. There's something remaining that God wants us to see in this book. Finally, something remaining, but it also means the rest. The rest. When I begin to study the rest, finally, from verse number 10 of chapter 6 down to the close of this chapter, that's when the Lord began to deal with me about this message that I'm preaching tonight. The outline that God gave me is this. I'll give it to you if you want to write it down. It's pretty simple. The outline is this. Number one, prepare. Number two, put on. Number three, there's a problem. But number four, provision. Provision. Prepare, put on. There's a problem, but then provision. And I'm so thankful for God's provision. When I study this, I find, number one, a call to prepare. I see that. That's the way the Lord dealt with me about it. Finally, my brethren, a call to prepare. It means to make ready. It means to deal with something or someone. It goes on and it basically says, Christians, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I believe that the Apostle Paul is wanting us to realize that there is a lot of instructions, a lot of guidelines, a lot of blessings, a lot of promises, a lot of great things in these six chapters. Then there's the rest. We need to be prepared. This strength is not anything that this world can give us. This is not a worldly strength, nor is this a fleshly strength. But what the Apostle Paul is teaching us in these verses is you and I as believers, we need the Lord's strength. Why do we need the Lord's strength, Pastor? We need the Lord's strength to overcome trials, to overcome temptations, and we even need the Lord's strength to overcome death. When I begin to study these verses from verse number 10 down, I see that the Lord was dealing with me how serious it is that you and I prepare. Prepare. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We need the Lord's strength in the days that we are living in. Well, how do we get that? Well, He tells us this in the outline of His prayer. In chapter number 3, verse number 16, He teaches us that you and I need to pray that we would be strong in the inner man. Not the outward man, not the physical man, but the spiritual man. That you and I would be prepared, and the way that we would get prepared is through prayer. We need to pray for each other. I need to pray for you, and you need to pray for me, that God would give us strength in the inner man, that we would be prepared for what's not only taking place today that we live in, but what's coming up tomorrow. And if the Lord so tarries before He takes the church home, that we would be prepared in the weeks ahead of us because of the battle that's taking place. There's a conflict going on. It's a lot bigger than this virus. It's a real battle. It's a real war. So I believe if we're going to prepare to do and to be what we need to be for the Lord, that means that we must pray. We must pray. But not only do I believe that He's teaching us to prepare through prayer, but verse number 11, He tells us some things to put on. Put on these things. That put on the whole armor of God. Verse number 11 says not only to stand, but verse number 13 teaches us not only to stand, but to withstand in the evil day. Not only to stand as believers, but to be able to withstand in the evil day what the enemy, what the devil is trying to throw at the children of God. So we need to pray so that we can be prepared, and we need to put on what He's telling us to put on so that we can withstand in the evil day. There's a lot going on in our world. I know that. But I believe there's a lot of evil in all of this. I know that a lot of people right now is preaching a lot of different messages and a lot of people saying a lot of different things about this virus. You say, well, what do you think about it, Pastor? I don't really know what to think. But I knew, though, this, the Lord showed me today that there is a lot of evil that is going on, and underlying in the shadows that nobody else can see. I need to remind you tonight, the devil's hard at work. The devil's hard at work. He's hard at work in the hearts and in the minds of people. He's hard at work in the homes of people that are out of work right now. The devil's hard at work in the minds of the leaders and the politicians in this country. I can tell you that. I believe right now there's an underlying shadow of evil through all of this that we can't see with the natural eye. But I believe God can give us a glimpse to it in the spiritual eye. So what are these things that the Lord tells us to put on? There's seven of them. You say, no, 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 there's just six. No, there's seven. He tells us in these verses to put on truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation. You say, yeah, and the only offensive weapon in this armor is the Word of God. You're wrong. There's two. It ends with prayer. Truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, the Word of God, and prayer. Seven things that the Bible instructs us to put on as children of God. Seven things, God's number of perfection. Seven things, God's number of completion. Put this on. Why do we need this in our lives today as believers? Verse number 11, that you may be able to stand. That you and I would be able to stand in the evil day. We need to pray so that we can be prepared. And we need to prepare so that we can put on, so that God's people can stand in the presence and in the power of God. Not in our strength, but in the strength of the Almighty God of heaven. That's what we need to do. We need to prepare. We need to put on, because God reminded me there's a serious problem. There's a serious problem. All I've heard and all people want to talk about, and our youth pastor, Brother Jason, mentioned it briefly, all that we ever hear anymore is about a problem, a virus. This is going on and that's going on, and these deaths and those deaths, and this is what's happening in this state, and then here's the... It's all people's talking about, but what you and I need to understand, there's a greater problem than COVID. It's going on in the world that you and I live in. There is a problem. Verses number 11 and 12 tells us of this problem. It tells us to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he tells us about the wrestling. See, there's a problem. It's the wiles of the devil. When you study that word wiles, it means the methods that the devil uses for tricks, for lies, to deceive hearts and minds of people. See, that's a far greater problem than anybody ever wants to talk about in our world. Not just in America, it's in our world. It's a great problem. It's the wiles of the devil. 1 Peter 5:8 teaches us to be sober, to be vigilant, because the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. It's a real battle today. It's a real conflict in the hearts and minds of people. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom, now listen, in whom the God, the little g, the God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Notice who the Bible calls Satan. He calls him the God of this world. Galatians 1:4 says, Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And the victory overcomes the world, it says, is our faith. Satan, the god of the world. But the Bible also calls him the prince of the world. John 12:31 says, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. John 14:30, Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh. John 16:11 says, the prince of this world is judged. We're in the book of Ephesians. Turn over just a couple of chapters to Ephesians 2 and look at verse number 2 on this thought of the God and the prince of this world. Ephesians 2, verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Let me remind all of us tonight that there is a true conflict. There is a true battle. There is a silent enemy. There is an invisible enemy that is going through the world. We don't even see it. And so many people in the day that we live in don't even acknowledge and don't even recognize, because Satan has blinded people's eyes lest they would be able to see. But so many people today are living in darkness because they don't see the light of Jesus Christ. It's serious. It says the wiles of the devil. And then in verse number 12 it says, we wrestle not flesh and blood, in verse 12. See, there's a problem. Verse 12 tells us the problem. It's principalities. It's powers. It's amazing to me that I've missed some of these words. It's not only principalities and powers, but it says this, rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. I just come to remind us tonight that there's a problem. There is a real problem. And that problem is that the devil wants to deceive the hearts and lives of people. The problem is that the devil and his army of demons wants to keep us so tore up and so defeated and so worried and so cast down and so messed up in our minds and so depressed that even the very children of God can't even get any victory in the day that we're living in. It's a lot worse than COVID-19. A lot worse. It's impacting not just a couple of thousands of lives. It's impacting millions and millions of lives, not only in America, but all around this world. But I'm so thankful. The last thought that the Lord dealt with me about is there is a provision. There's a provision. And when we study about this provision, it's not something that man can give. You and I need to understand it's a supernatural thing. It's bigger than I am. It's bigger than you are. It's bigger than the internet. It's bigger than Facebook. It's bigger than sermon audio. It's bigger than any church. It's supernatural. It can only come from God. He's the only one that can give us this provision. He's the only one that can help us in the day that we're living in. You say, oh, are you calling this virus a thing of the devil? Hey, I'm not preaching about the virus. I'm preaching about something that's worse than the virus. I'm preaching about the wiles of the devil and the wrestling of the principalities and the powers and the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. We don't even recognize what's going on in our own homes. We don't even recognize what's going on in our communities. And we don't even recognize a lot of times what's going on in our own hearts and minds as believers. The devil's trying to tear us up and rip us apart. But there is a provision that God has given us. And it's right here in these scriptures. And I pray tonight that you and I can grab a hold of this provision. And that we'll realize we are more than conquerors. We'll realize that greater than he that's in us than he that's in the world. We'll realize that we have victory and a man, and that man is the Christ man, the very Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let's look at this provision. Supernatural provision. A provision is something provided. It's measures taken beforehand. That's what's so awesome about a provision. It's something that is already set in place way before the problem ever even come. It's a provision. It's something that has already been established. It's there. It's taken care of. But the problem is, so many times we don't even use what God's given us to use. This provision is for several different things, but two in particular that the Lord dealt with me about. Number one is for supply. This provision is for supply. That's the things that are needed in our lives. It's for supply, but this is the second one that very rarely we ever tap into. It's for security. This provision is not just for supply. This provision that has been given us by the Lord is also for security. What does that mean? That means it's for what's necessary. We've heard that a lot lately, haven't we? What's essential in the day that we live in? What's essential? Only those with an essential job, only those with something that really matters can continue doing what you're doing. Can I remind us, children of God, that you and I have something that is so essential that we cannot stop doing it, not one day, not one hour, not one minute, because God has given us something, a provision, a supernatural provision that is the most essential thing on the face of the planet. It's what's necessary. It's all that matters. You say, no, all that matters is food and clothing and shelter. No, this provision is even bigger than that, my friends. It's things provided beforehand. He's given it to us, but we don't know how to use it. We don't know how to use it. It's essential. And yes, you and I need to do it. But our provision for these problems are these offensive weapons that God's given us. There's two of them. And I want you to listen real close. You know it, but we don't use them. There's two of them. The first one is the sword of the Spirit. which is the Word of God. The second one is prayer. The first is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, but the second one is prayer. And so many times we use the Word of God for a lot of different things in our lives. We'll use the Word of God for blessings. We'll use the Word of God for health. We'll use the Word of God for healing. We'll use the Word of God for our marriages and how to raise our children. We'll use the Word of God for direction. But what about our greatest war that's going on in our world right now that we can't even see? Do we ever use the Word of God because of Satan trying to tear us up and tear us apart? Very rarely will we use the Word of God in that way. And he tells us right here in the book of Ephesians, he tells us in chapter number 6, he said, I am giving you the most important weapon of all of the armor, and it's the sword of the Spirit, and it's the Word of God. And in its context, it's to fight the wiles and the wrestling of the devil. Very rarely will we use the Word of God for that. The Word of God is powerful. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 4, Jesus had been praying and fasting. And the devil himself came and tempted Jesus. And let me remind you that when Satan came to tempt Jesus, Jesus used the very Word of God himself to combat the enemy, to combat the prince of this world, to combat the God of the earth. Jesus used the very Word of God to throw back at him. He used Deuteronomy 8:3. Jesus used Deuteronomy 6:16. And Jesus used Deuteronomy 6:13. He told Satan three different times, it is written, it is written, it is written. He used three Old Testament verses, Deuteronomy 8, Deuteronomy 6, Deuteronomy 6, 16, and 6, 13. He used the very Word of God. And then right after that, in verse number 11 of Matthew 4, it says, and the devil left him. And so many times, Brother Brent, yes, we pray, God, just keep us healthy. Yes, we pray, God, just watch over us. Yes, we pray, God, help us with our finances. Yes, we pray, God, just help me, Lord, with this and with that. And all of those prayers are good prayers. But do we ever use the Word of God when that wrestling takes place in our lives? That wrestling of the evil that comes into our minds, into our hearts, into our homes, into our churches, because we know it's all in the world. The only way we can make it is by the Word of God and by the power of the Lord. The Lord began to deal with me from a message that I heard on the radio. When I sit down to read my Bible, even when I sit down just to read my Bible, my mind can begin just boom, automatic. I open the pages of the Word of God. I just open it up and I start reading through the verses, and just like floods of thoughts has been coming into my mind, has been messing my mind up, and I'm trying just to spend time in the Word of God, and it's just been flooding my mind. And finally the Lord dealt with me and said, pray, pray, pray. And I've been praying, oh God in heaven, please protect my mind. Don't let the enemy put junk in my mind so that I can read and comprehend and understand the very Word of God, so that the Word of God would get in my life, so it would penetrate my life, so that the Word of God would not only go in me, but it would begin to go out of me, so that I could help somebody that's struggling in the day that we're living in. I can't do that in my own strength, and neither can you, and neither can anyone else. We need the power of the Spirit of God in our lives, and we need the Word of God to fight these battles, because we're not strong enough to fight them, but God is. He's already won. He's already said it is finished. He's already died. He's already rose again, and he's sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. We're serving a conquering, victorious Savior today. And he's given us the Word of God, and we use it for so many other things, but for the spiritual battles that takes place in our lives, we won't use it for that. just struggle through them. Let me read these verses with you. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verses 3, 4, and 5. Listen close. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. When I began to study that, the Lord began to show me the Word of God is for the work of God. The Word of God is for the work of God. And when the enemy comes to try to trick us, to deceive us, to keep our minds messed up, to keep us tore up spiritually and emotionally and physically and drained and just so preoccupied with everything of the world, the Word of God cannot do the work of God because the workers of God are so distracted when they try to read the Word of God. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. So many things we need to understand. What we need to understand tonight is there is a battle. It's big. There's a battle going on. What is this battle for? What is all of this about? God, give me three things, and I'm sure there's many. But I believe, first off, this battle that's going on in our world, number one, I believe, is for the souls of people. I believe this battle that is going on is for victory of believers. But I believe this battle that is going on is in the minds of the redeemed. In the minds of the people who has accepted Christ as Savior and Lord. People right now probably has more time to spend with the Lord than they ever have in a long time. But you know what I believe? I believe there's already, even in this slow time of life, not for everyone, but for a lot, the distractions has grown greater. I believe the distractions are greater now than they was when we was busy. I believe there are people who's working full-time jobs, who was scrambling just to get home before dark. Now they're at home and they're spending less time in the Word of God than they was when their life was in a rat race. It's a battle. It's a battle. I believe people's hearts in the day that we're living in are waxing worse and worse. We need the Word of God for supply and also for security. Number two, we need to pray. Verse number 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Pray. Pray always. When are we ever going to grab a hold that prayer is what gives victory and nothing else will? Nothing else gives victory but prayer. No matter how much armor you have on, no matter how good you can fight, or no matter how brave you are, without prayer, you and I will be defeated. Every single day in our lives, we will live in defeat if we don't pray the way that we ought to pray. I was getting ready to leave the house, and the Lord convicted me. I mean convicted. You say a conviction is something that's very serious in your life now, Pastor. The Lord convicted me to call that prayer line where there's over 300 people that's on it and ask them, pray, would you please pray that God could use this message tonight to speak to our hearts and to help us and to realize that there's something a lot worse than this virus that is going around. And we'd get serious about the Word of God, and we would get serious about prayer like never before. Pray, pray, pray. But really pray in the Spirit. I was talking to someone in my family one time. We just finished having a time of prayer. And this individual in my family, after we prayed, was just crying and crying and crying. And I asked this person, I said, "Why are you crying so hard?" And this is what they said to me. They said, when I just pray, it don't really stir nothing up in me too much. But for some reason, when I really pray, said I can't hold back the tears. And they told me, said, there's a difference in praying and really praying. We need to really pray in the Spirit. You say, well, how do you pray in the Spirit? God will show you. I could preach a whole message on praying in the Spirit. God will show you what it means. When you're praying and God begins to speak to you about things that you had no idea that you needed to pray about. And when you get to the place that all you can do in your prayers is weep. Hold your hands up to the heavens and say, oh God, help us, Lord. Oh Lord, help us. The Spirit will begin to make intercession for that prayer. The groans and the utterance that comes out of your heart and through your mouth. Lead us by the Spirit. What do we need to pray for? You need to pray for yourself. You say, oh, I never pray for myself. You need to pray for yourself. You need to pray for your family. And here in this verse it says, pray for others. Pray for all the saints. When do I need to pray for them? We need to pray all the time. Oh, I pray all the time, preacher. I pray that God would bless you. I pray that God would strengthen you. I pray that God would give you the message that needs to be preached. I thank you so much for those prayers. But it goes deeper than that in Ephesians chapter 6. This prayer is because that Paul knows that we wrestle. Not with flesh and blood, but with principalities. This prayer is because Paul knows that the devil is trying to destroy. This prayer is because that the apostle knows that there is the wiles of the devil, the tricks and the pitfalls that's going to try to trip us up in our lives, in our minds, in our families, and in our churches, and in the world. The Lord led me today to the book of Job. The book of Job speaks of some very interesting things in that first chapter. One of the things that the Lord led me to today was the hedge. The hedge. See, we need to pray that hedge of protection. I believe that around our families. We need to pray that hedge of protection around you. You need to pray that hedge of protection around all that the Lord has blessed you with. You need to pray that hedge of protection around what you have worked so hard with your hands. And you need to pray that hedge of protection around the increase in the land. It's all in Job chapter 1. Go look at it. Lord, I realize that there is a real battle going on. And I realize that the enemy wants to mess up my mind. He wants to wreck my testimony. He wants to destroy my family. He wants to take everything that you've blessed me with. God, in the book of Job, he speaks of a hedge. I can't see the hedge. Because it's a supernatural provision that only you can give, God. Would you put that hedge around me? God, would you put that hedge around my family, around our home, around our church? That hedge that Satan or his demons cannot come in and mess with and destroy. We don't pray those prayers much. But he said, I've given you this provision. This was provided way before you ever even needed it. That's what a provision is. It's been in place. Use it. It's the only way to battle an unseen enemy. I don't listen to the news much, but I did hear our president say this. He was talking about an unseen war or an unseen enemy, using that terminology for the COVID-19 virus. You and I have a bigger unseen war and an unseen enemy. And so does the world. But the world don't see it. We must pray that people will see the light. They will not be blinded by the darkness of the world. And then in verse number 19 says this, and I'm about closed. And for me and for you, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. But let me remind you of something about this enemy. His day is soon coming to an end. Revelation 20 and verse 3, the devil, Satan, is cast into the bottomless pit, and they shut him up, that he should deceive the nations no more. Revelation 20:10, and the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. We have a problem, but God's made a provision. It's the word of God and it's prayer. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray tonight in the name of Jesus, God, that you would keep a hedge of protection around me. And God, would you keep that hedge of protection around my family? And God, would you keep that hedge of protection around our extended family and on out into our community and our church family and those that are listening to this message? God, help us to pray the way we need to pray. To realize, yes, God, we can pray for supply. But God, we also need to pray for security, for safety. And God, your hand, your supernatural protecting hand would be on us, Lord, to help us in the evil day. That not by my might nor by my power, but, oh God, that we would pray by the power of the Lord, that we would be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. In Jesus' name, amen.